Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, thank you for joining us again on the Beacon Broadcast, and we will continue talking about Abraham's faith from the last few verses of Romans chapter 4, and particularly the exercise and development of Abraham's faith. And thus far, we have identified three of five characteristics that show us something of Abraham's development and exercise of his faith. I review the first three. Number one, Abraham refused to dwell on contradicting circumstances. That's Romans 4:19. Number two, Abraham did not waver between competing realities. That's verse 20. Number three, Abraham refused to question God's wisdom and power. You'll find that in verse 21. And now for today, number four, Abraham continually focused on the primary purpose of life. And for that, we back up again to verse 20, which says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. That's the primary purpose of our life, is to bring glory to God. Our purpose for being here is to honor God. And the first question that comes to my mind when a difficult circumstance comes into my life is not, how can I get out of this difficult circumstance, but how can I glorify God through this difficult circumstance? That ought to be our first response. Or, if not our first one, and many times in our weakness and frailty as redeemed sons of God who are not yet fully sanctified, it will not be our first response, but it better be our second one. It better be our considered response. Not, Lord, help me to get out of this difficult situation. Lord, spare me from this difficult situation. Lord, keep me from trial. Keep me from pain. Keep me from difficulty. But Lord, help me to honor you in the midst of this difficulty that you have brought into my life for some purpose. And one purpose I know is to bring glory to yourself, because that's the purpose of my life overall. And that's the ultimate purpose of everything that you bring into my life. Therefore, O Lord, help me to bring honor and glory to you through this circumstance. Help me, Lord, that my response to the circumstance will not dishonor you in any way. Help me, Lord, that my faith in you will not fail me in the midst of this circumstance. Oh, Lord, help me not to dishonor you with this trial in my life. Others are watching me. May they know that you are a God who never fails your children. You are a God who is worthy to be worshipped and trusted and served and honored regardless of what difficulties you bring into my life. That was Abraham's attitude. Again, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, dear friends, how do we bring glory to God? Well, there are a lot of ways, but let me suggest three. Number one, by living in conformity to God's revealed will. Number two, by proclaiming God's virtues to others. And number three, by demonstrating our full confidence in His Word. Now let me go back and take those up again one by one. How do we glorify God in our lives? Number one, by living in conformity to His revealed will. What's His revealed will? It's what the Bible tells us. Now, we don't always know what the secret will of God is. In fact, we really never know the secret will of God, because if it was known to us, it would no longer be secret. And frankly, God does have a secret will. How do you know that? Well, many times in Scripture, we can see His secret will playing out behind His revealed will until, finally, His secret will becomes revealed. Example. It was God's secret will, we might say, though not very much of a secret, that Jesus Christ be crucified. Now, it is God's revealed will that men not lie, that they not accuse innocent people falsely, that they not mistreat His Son. All these things are revealed to us in the Word of God. And all of these elements of God's revealed will were violated in order to carry out His secret will. For the perfect Son of God to be crucified upon the cross, unbelieving men had to charge Him falsely. He was the sinless Son of God. There was no fault with Him. There was no accurate charge against Him worthy of death or worthy of any punishment or any rebuke whatsoever. There was no such thing in Him. He is the spotless Lamb of God, in whom there is no sin. But nevertheless, for Him to be crucified, executed as a criminal, somebody had to perjure themselves. Somebody had to bring false charges against Him. Was that God's revealed will for men to do that? No, that's contrary to God's revealed will. God makes it very clear in His Word that it is wrong, that it is against the will of God for men to lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness, and yet Jesus Christ couldn't have been crucified unless somebody bore false witness against Him. But you see, that was all in conformity with God's secret will. It was God's will that Christ be crucified. It was, therefore, God's will that somebody bear false witness. Bearing false witness was a violation of His revealed will, but it was in perfect conformity with His secret will. Do you see what I'm saying? That's a bit heavy for some people, but I hope you can understand and appreciate what I'm saying here. Now, how do we glorify God? By living in conformity with His revealed will. We don't know His secret will. We don't know what God may have planned for our life. But what we do know is what the Bible tells us. Therefore, we work very hard at conforming our lives to God's revealed will as much as we can understand it. We know that God is not pleased with lying. So, cut it out of your life. That's the way you bring glory to God. We know that God is not pleased with stealing. So, if you have been in the habit of stealing, stop it. Let him that stole steal no more. Now, if someone does steal, was that God's will? That was contrary to His revealed will. But we might see, we may never see, but we might see how that turns out to be in perfect conformity with God's secret will. We think of Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave into Egypt. Were his brothers righteous in that? No, they were unrighteous. Were they carrying out the revealed will of God? No, what they were doing was contrary to the revealed will of God. God does not approve of men lying and betraying and selling others into slavery. They did that out of malicious hatred. They did that contrary to the revealed will of God. But was that God's will that that happen? Well, it was, wasn't it? Joseph himself said so. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In other words, you did it sinfully. You did it with impure motives. You did it in violation of the revealed will of God. But God, who is sovereign, used even your sinful rebellion and violation of His revealed will. God used all that to bring about His will. God had a good purpose in it. God had a wise purpose. God had a plan in that. God intended to use your sin to save your sorry hides, to save you from famine, to save an entire nation from famine, to bring His people down into the land of Egypt. And God had a lot of other purposes in mind to carry out by this. And God overruled your sin for His good. And therefore, your sin was in perfect harmony with God's secret will, which became revealed later on. But that's the way it works. Now, we don't know God's secret will. And we're not responsible for God's secret will. But you know what? Every one of us are responsible for God's revealed will, and we will be held accountable for every failure to conform to God's revealed will. God will hold us responsible for that. So, how do we glorify God? By living in conformity with His revealed will. We study the Scriptures. We find out what God's will is, His revealed will. And we work very hard at conforming our lives to what God prescribes. That's how we glorify God. Number two, we glorify God by proclaiming His virtues to others. In other words, we tell other people who God is and what He's like. We glorify Him by declaring His attributes, His characteristics, His wisdom, His power, what He has done, His gracious deeds, showing His wisdom, showing the things that we know about Him, by declaring His virtues to others. That's the way we bring glory to God. And number three, we bring glory to God by demonstrating our full confidence in His Word, which is another way of saying our full confidence in Him. I may not know what God is doing here, but I believe that God has a wise and gracious purpose, and I'm going to trust Him. I will trust when I cannot see, though I'm faced with adversity, but I know His way is always best for me. I will trust when I cannot see. And when other people see us doing that, we bring great glory to God. It's one thing to say, oh, I believe that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And it's another thing to live like you believe that's true, to demonstrate that in your life, to act like you believe that's true. Many a child of God who has quoted that verse in times of sunshine has, I'm afraid, betrayed their trust in that truth in times of adversity. Many a child of God who has quoted that verse to others has failed to quote it to themselves in times of difficulty. But we honor God by demonstrating our full confidence in His Word. And that's how Abraham exercised and developed his faith. He continually focused on the primary purpose of life, namely to glorify God. And as we do the same, our faith will be strengthened. Our faith will grow. Our faith will be developed as we continually endeavor to live according to God's revealed will, as we continually proclaim His virtues to others, as we continually demonstrate our full confidence in His Word. May God help us to do so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.